Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 13 together. And then I will teach. I am not making a promise, but there's a chance we might get out just a couple seconds early here tonight. And say, why? Because I didn't have dessert. I'm hungry. No. Romans chapter 7. By the way, God performed a miracle on Monday. I drove past Munster Giro and did not stop. The world's greatest gyros in all the world are there on Calumet Avenue in Munster, and my wife and I drove right past it. My wife wasn't paying attention. I said, honey, look, look. She said, you're not stopping? I said, no. But boy, did I want to. God was moving, amen? All right, Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. We'll read through verse 13 together. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, I need you to pay attention for the introduction here, or you're going to be lost, all right? If you can give me the next 3 or 4 minutes, you'll understand the Bible study tonight a whole lot better. There are really three parts of justice that are necessary to have complete biblical justice, all right? I'm going to give those to you, and then we're going to talk about one part of this tonight. But you have to have justice deciding if there should even be a judgment. Then, number two, you have to have justice executing that judgment. And then number three, you have to have justice after the judgment. In order to have complete justice, you have to have justice to decide if there's any judgment needed. You have to have justice executing the judgment. Then you've got to have justice after the execution of justice. So those are the three main areas that you need to have justice in to have complete justice. Everybody understand that? So you have to have it before, during, and after. Is that the best way for you to understand it? So we have to have it when? Okay, that was weak. You sounded like Methodist on that one. You got to have it when?
Before,
during, and after the judgment. All right? So let me show you what I mean. Most all of the, by the way, this is true in your home. It's true in our government. It's true in schools. It's true where you work. You have to have all these areas of justice lined up to have real justice. Most of the crime problem in America is due to the fact that one or more of these areas is violated and we don't have true justice. Let me show you what I mean. Immigration is unjust right now. Letting illegals across our border and have babies over here and commit crimes, and they're still allowed to be here, take government money out of our pockets, we pay for them, that is unjust. We have immigration laws. By the way, our president should be impeached over not doing his duty of executing the Constitution for the rights of our people. All right? I'm not against immigration. I'm for legalized immigration. I'm not against people to immigrate, but I am against illegal immigration. Everybody understand that? You say, why? Because it's unjust to everybody in America, and it is unjust to those that come here from other countries and follow the rules and follow the legalities of immigration. So it's unjust in more than one area. So that is unjust. I better be careful how I say some of these things. Did you know that it's unjust if somebody makes a law today and you did something that was against what that law was yesterday for a judge to fine you for that law?
Right.
If they put a stop sign in the middle of Queen Street out here between these stoplights, and you didn't stop there yesterday, but the law went in effect today, they don't give you a ticket for not stopping at it yesterday. Say why? Because there had to be a rule established before they could enforce the rule. All right. Now, I could go on and on and on and on. I'm not going to. But I want to focus on before there's ever a rule broken, before there's ever a law broken, before there's ever a violation needing a judgment, the justice that's involved before that. Now, let me show you what I mean. God says here, Romans chapter 7, and follow with me, you'll see what I'm saying. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, watch this, but by the law.
Right.
In other words, we couldn't even know what sin was till we had the law. Until we knew what we violated, we didn't know we were doing wrong. Let's read the rest of the verse. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, lust isn't always a sexual or sensual thing. It's just desiring something. The word lust means desire. That's why thou shalt not covet. Covet and lust are virtually the same word. All right? So God was writing here and said, look, you didn't know that lust or coveting was sin till the law was written, thou shalt not covet. Everybody understand that? So before that was given, it could not be a law that was broken. Now, if sin is a transgression of the law, that's what the Bible says sin is. All right, the word transgression means this. The word transgression, if there were a line right down the aisle here, and I crossed that line, that is a transgression. It is a trespass. When you go across somebody's property line without permission, you have trespassed. In other words, you've stepped across a line that is not yours to step into. You've gone into somebody else's territory without proper permission. Therefore, it's sin. And it is the breaking of a law. God said that transgression, trespass, is sin. Now watch this. If you don't know where the lines are, you don't know if you're sinning. If I pulled one of you up here, pulled out this piece of paper and say, okay, I want you to color the picture. Well, how many of you see the picture on there? Brother Ron, you see a lot of things you shouldn't see. Okay? Tammy's not here to slap you, but your mama is. Now, wait a minute. You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. There's no picture there. Well, the only way you know there's a picture there is if there are lines outlining it. God says that the law is the outline of that picture, and you're supposed to stay within the guidelines of that picture. So justice, before there's ever wrongdoing, is we have to establish what those rules are. And if they're not properly established, you can't enforce something that wasn't previously established, or you're not just. Boy, that's a good statement. You can't convict somebody of crossing a line if the line was never established. You can't have somebody walk on your property. Let's say you own 100 acres. And if somebody's walking on your property, but there are no signs hung up that say no trespassing, you cannot have them arrested for trespassing. Now, if they go into one of your buildings, you can, because that's breaking and entering. But if they're just walking on your property without signs posted, you can't do anything about it till after you post signs, and you can't do it to that person to be the next person that crosses over that. Everybody understand that? I'm trying to help you here. I have about six or seven statements I'm going to make to you tonight. Actually, I condensed it to five. Aren't you proud of me? All right, here we go. Number one, this will help you. Before you can decide if a law is broken, there must first be an actual law. You have to make a law known before it can be enforced. Did you know you're supposed to know what the laws of driving are? That's why they make you take a test. That's why you're supposed to study the book they give you. Notice I use the word supposed to. Oh, I've been riding my whole life. And just about every 15-year-old takes their test, fails it the first time, because most of them don't take time to study.
Yes, sir.
They think they know it all, and it's good for them to find out they don't. When I first moved to West Virginia 14 years ago, I'd had my driver's license in Ohio, in Indiana, California, South Carolina, back in Indiana. And I figured, hey, I can do this. I'm just transferring my CDL. Is all I got to do is take the written test. My wife passed it. I failed it. Now, just remember, I had a CDL test, not the regular one. I didn't realize in the state of West Virginia, some of the numbers had changed on some of the weights and different things. So they gave me a little bit of time, and I went back and took my test and passed it, and everything was all right. You say, why? I didn't think I needed it. I've been driving for long enough, hadn't had any accidents. I didn't need to read that stupid book. Just let me take the test. I was being a man, amen? So I had to take it twice. That's why you read the book. And I did read the book before the second time I took it. Now, wait a minute. You can't, by the way, God gave us the law, and sin was the breaking of the law. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 3. You're there in Romans 7, but turn back to chapter 3. And I want to show you something here. This will help you. Look at verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, I haven't broken all of the Ten Commandments. I'm good enough to get to heaven. The law was given to show you you need a Savior.
Right.
It was not given for you to keep to get to heaven. The Bible calls it a plumb line or a schoolmaster. It was there to show you where you've crossed the line already. You can't keep it. By the way, you couldn't keep it enough to get you to heaven.
Right.
It is there to show you where the boundaries of sin are. That's why the statement, well, it was just a little white lie. God didn't put any color on lies. A lie is a lie. By the way, he put liars in the same list he put murderers, whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Can I tell you something? It's no different. A sin is a sin. Doesn't matter if it's a big one or a little one. By the way, it's only a white lie when you tell it. Somebody else tells it about you. It's a big, nasty one. Ouch. Shouldn't have said that, right? Now, you can't punish someone if there's no law or rule broken. God could not punish a man till the law was established. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 14. Look at verse 14. You can't get to heaven by keeping the law because of this. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Wow. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression.
Right.
If there's no law, there's no rule to cross. We live in a land of rules that aren't being enforced. The problem today is not that we don't have rules on the books. The problem today is we're not enforcing the laws on the books. The problem today is we don't need more laws. We just need to enforce the ones we do have, and we need to punish the way the law says it should be punished. Everybody understand that? So, you can't punish someone if there is no law or rule. For instance,
Let's say, I'll use my daughter here. She's not old. She's too old. Let's say Kirsten. I got to use somebody that has to obey. Don't tell my daughter she doesn't have to, but there are some things she still has to obey. Let's say Kirsten disobeys her mom and dad. Let's say that she was supposed to do something, but she didn't know she was supposed to do it. Let's say Brother Barnes expected her to take the trash out, but he never told her to take the trash out. He just thought, since she's 12 years old, 7th grade now, that part I know because she's not allowed to get Skittles anymore. let's say he just assumed, because she was 12, that she's supposed to take the trash out. But it was never said that this is her job to do. Guess what? He's not supposed to punish her if she didn't take the trash out.
Right.
Because he didn't tell her what that rule was. Now, if he says, from here on out, you're supposed to take the trash out. Do you understand? Yes. What's your job? Take the trash out. All right. Now, if she violates it from then on, she should be punished, correct? But you don't punish if she didn't know what the law was. I wonder how many times we as parents have punished our kids because they irritated us, but they really didn't know they were supposed to do it. Ouch. I'm guilty of that. How about you? Did you know that an employee that you work with may really not know what the rule is? And if they broke it, they really may not have known what the rule was? Guess what? If they didn't know what the rule was, part of it's the leadership's fault. You know, if my secretary makes a big mistake, but I didn't tell her how to prevent having that mistake, it's not her fault, it's mine. And I can accept that. You say, why? Because I'm supposed to lead her to know when not to do those things. Leadership absorbs those things. That's what a leader's for. Now, I can't think of, it's not that she's perfect. She married Evan. But let's say she's done something wrong. I may have gone to her and said, you know what, we did it this way. Not your fault, but I think next time we probably ought to do it a different way, because that didn't turn out quite like we thought it was going to turn out. There's times she said, oh, preacher, I messed up. I did this. I said, no, you didn't. You did fine. I didn't tell you otherwise. It's okay. It may still not be my preferences. Let me show you something that is the other side of that. I'm going to give you a real story. I won't tell you who it involved. It doesn't matter. But one of my children was given demerits one day by a teacher. I was the principal in the school. And yeah, it was not my daughter. She's perfect. She never got demerits. Yeah, and she's going to be there for sure. Oh, wait a minute. But one of the teachers said to one of my children, I am about to give you, and it was a good lump sum. I mean, it wasn't a little one demerit thing. I was going to give him like 10 demerits. And the teacher said, it's not a rule, but I think you need this for your character, so I'm going to give you 10 demerits. That hurt my child. Now, my child did not know this. My child came to me and said, Dad, I got these. I said, what for? Told me. And I got the teacher aside. I said, is this really what you're giving demerits for? Yes. You better sign them. Ooh. I said, we'll go see the boss about this. So I scheduled an appointment for me, the teacher, and the pastor. And I said, I have no problem signing demerits for my children. You know that. I said, but I do have a problem signing demerits for any student if they're given demerits for something that's not a rule. He looked at the teacher and said, show me in the rule book where this is a violation. Right. And the teacher said, it's not there, but this student needs it. He said, Brother Bush, go ahead and leave my office. Amen. Those demerits didn't stick, just so you know. I wasn't fighting something that was a rule. If my child broke the rule, we're going to sign the demerits. When my son poked somebody in the nose, and I brought him to my office and gave him demerits for fighting, I signed his demerits. But the kid that needed poked in the nose needed poked in the nose, and I walked to the other side of the desk and said, good job, I'm proud of you. It's worth the demerits. He still got the demerits. I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with any student getting demerits for something that's not even in the handbook. Everybody understand that? And you don't punish someone because you think they need it. That's not justice. The justice was following the rules. All right? I got to hurry. Number two, justice means you can't punish retroactively. That means you can't establish a rule today and punish somebody who broke it a week ago because it wasn't a rule a week ago. In the American political system, we are set up under something that's called no ex post facto laws. Okay? I paid a lot of money for my education. I'm going to use some big words every once in a while. Amen? An ex post facto means this. You can't make it fact and punish someone after they've broken it. That's why those terms are in there. If Joe breaks the speed limit on Edwin Miller Boulevard, but they change it today, but he went last week faster than what's posted today, he doesn't get punished for it. That's an ex post facto law. That's punishing retroactively. Let me put it this way. God loved man more than all creation. Did you know that the same punishment was placed on man that was placed on the devil and his angels? That's why God had to give us the plan of salvation, or we all die and go to hell. And everybody has to be saved the same way. By grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ, that alone. If you can get to heaven any other way, it is unjust and God is not God.
Right.
Well, we all believe in God. It's just many different names and many different paths lead to God. There is one way. There is one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the name Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. The life, not a life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, why is that? So that everybody stands before a just God with just salvation. God established it so that every human being alive has to be saved the same way. Well, there are some people that believe that after you get saved, you got to speak in tongues or you're not really saved. That's adding works to salvation,
right.
And it's not salvation.
You're right.
They use those words. Well, they've been saved, but they've been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, then you didn't get saved. Well, that's work salvation.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
Yep.
If you believe you can get saved and then you can lose it, and then you got to get saved again, and then you can lose it because you're not living a certain lifestyle, you didn't get saved. That's work salvation.
Amen.
You have to believe in eternal salvation or you've never been saved.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. I'm going somewhere with this. Jesus loved all men. Did you know that he died for people that hate his guts? He died for the Islamists. He died for the Catholics. He died for the Buddhists. He died for the heathen in the jungles that don't even believe in our God. They believe in statues and sticks and stones and whatever. He even died for the voodoos. The Hutus and the Tutsis. And those are real tribes in Africa, trust me. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, though, didn't die just for man. Listen to this statement. Jesus came to satisfy the justice of God. Jesus loved God so much that he had to be the propitiation of our sin to settle the balance, to balance the scale so that we could be saved. I was just glad it was her and not you. Jesus came so that God's justice could be satisfied so that man could go to heaven.
Praise God.
Well, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. No, you weren't. God's justice was. God, Jesus loved you. Yes, he did. But God loved you more than Jesus did. God loved God the Father so much, he came to satisfy God's justice. And I got to hurry because I made a little bit of a promise. Number three. Punishment should be made known as the law is established and known. Punishment should be made known as the law is established and made known. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, just back a page. Let me show you what I mean. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 23. For the wages of sin is... Wow, now look at me. There's a law. If you sin, you're going to... Guess what? We're all sinners. Because we're all going to die. God said, here's the transgression. If you sin, here's the punishment. You die. For the wages of sin is death. Did you know when you make a rule, you're supposed to make the punishment that goes with the rule? Not just make the rule? I've been involved in Christian education for a long time. I had somebody ask me on Monday, are you going to start a Christian school? Someday. I said, I got to have a church building before I even think of a school. I said, I hate to tell you this, I got to have a church big enough to take care of a school because I can't run the church and the school all by myself. I said, I'm getting too old for that and I'm getting too wise for that. I'm starting to understand this a little bit better. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Justice is not deciding who gets what punishment depending on how you feel that day. Did you know if you break the speed limit that the police officer is supposed to go by the rules that are on the books? Now, he may be kind to you and give you a warning because he may feel that you have self-corrected to a point where he wouldn't have to slap a ticket on you. But guess what? If he does, you have no right to argue with him. He's just enforcing the law. You're supposed to take your argument to the judge, not to him. He's the enforcer of the law. Everybody understand that? He is there as a state officer saying, according to this code, and if you look on your ticket, it'll say, because Brother Wiley's gotten a ton of them and he showed them to me, but it'll have the code that was broken. It'll have the law, the number written beside it, everything that you could go to the West Virginia Penal Code or whatever state you're in when you broke the law. And it'll be stated right there exactly what the law is and what the punishment for it is. You say, why do we do that? So that Wiley doesn't have to pay a higher ticket than my daughter for breaking the same law in the same place at the same set of speed limits. Everybody understand that? Remember, we said justice is blind. It's blindfolded. It's supposed to be the same for everybody. By the way, I'm going to say something here. Don't get mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. We need to pre-decide as parents what our punishment for our children is before they break the law. Too many times we punish out of anger and not out of justice. We used to, with our kids, we would write it down, put it on the refrigerator. If you break this rules, you're going to get this amount of punishment, and this punishment, and this punishment, and this punishment. And we just had it up there. You say, why? Because when they broke the rule, we went, found out what the punishment was, and it wasn't, going, this is a fourth time today, and I'm going to give you three times as much. No, that's not just. You say, what is it? You do the same thing all the time because the punishment goes with the crime. Did you know if Miss Kim drives through a red light, she shouldn't get life in prison for it? Now, if Ron does, he should. Now, wait a minute. That wouldn't be just, would it? So whatever she gets, he should get. Right. By the way, I'm not a real big proponent of officers letting people off. If you broke the rule, you broke the rule. Right. You're putting justice into somebody's hands that doesn't always deserve it. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. Can I tell you something? If we will pre-decide punishment with the law, as the law is established, this takes the mood out of everything. This takes the emotion out of justice. Do you know I make judgment calls with no emotion at all? I have no problem. Somebody asked me recently, they said, what do you think of being a youth director and a Christian school principal at the same time? I said, it's stupid. And they just looked at me. They said, why? I said, there's a chance the guy in the position can do it, but the students aren't mature enough to accept it. I said, you can't give a kid 10 demerits on Friday morning in school and then take him on an activity Friday night and expect him to have a good time. I said, it's not going to work. I said, the youth director's mature enough to handle it, but that student still ticked off at the guy that gave him the 10 demerits. I said, they're just not mature enough to handle both of those positions at once. They said, how do you know this? I said, I did it for about 4 years. Trust me. I understand it. It doesn't work. Now, wait a minute. This keeps us from... By the way, American court system shouldn't be trying to find out the motive to everything. Do you know motive is only attached to murder? Was it premeditated? Was it self-defense? Or was it just incidental? Heat of the moment, happened as it happened. That's why you have murder one, manslaughter, and self-defense. That's the only time motive should come into it. Everybody doing all right? Has nothing to do with, well, we have to have our American press decide why somebody went into somewhere and started shooting somebody. It's amazing. They want to figure out why the guy did it, but they want to blame the gun. I haven't figured that one out yet. They haven't asked the gun its motive. You know, we're not to excuse wrong. Did you know we're not supposed to say, well, it's my child, it'll be okay, we'll fix it next time. Oh, no, 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 no. You assert the punishment that was there predetermined before the rule was ever broken. I watched my brother mouth off to my dad, my mom, one time. I watched my dad backhand him one time. I found out what the punishment for back-talking my mother was. Guess what? I didn't do it. Tell you why. I saw what the execution of punishment was and decided it wasn't worth it. I found out what it was like to not eat your peas and hide them under the kitchen cushion, saying you ate them. I found out what the punishment was for that. By the way, it was the same punishment that had been established long before I did that. It wasn't that I hit him, it was that I lied about it. I got whooped not for hiding them, I got whooped for lying. Because my dad asked me, did you eat them? Mm-hmm, that's a lie.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get whooped because mom found them 2 days later.
Oh, no.
I got whooped because I told dad I ate them, and I didn't. And I wasn't smart enough to remember to go back and take them out from under the cushion after I got done playing. Say, what was that? Made me wiser. I'll tell you some of the things they did that they didn't catch me for. Number four, the judges are not to have a will in any case. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, the judge is not to have a will in any case. In other words, we're not, as judges, we're not supposed to let our emotions or our attachment decide how we're going to rule in a certain situation. I know it's in here. Deuteronomy chapter 1. There we go. Look at verse number 16. And I charge you, your judges, at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. But ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of a man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. Now, God says we're not to have respect unto persons.
And listen to me, there's a lot in the news right now. I'll use one illustration. I'll make one statement. I'm not going to comment on it. But Hillary Clinton should be punished the same way as anybody else should be punished.
Amen.
Yes.
Yep. All the way.
It doesn't matter. The President of the United States, her husband, should have been punished the same way everybody else should be. He's still been impeached. He still has been found guilty and has never suffered one day for it. Now, wait a minute here. It says the small as well as the great. Did you know that the same law that that you violate doesn't matter whether you have... that's why I'm not for what they call diplomatic immunity. Amen. Diplomatic immunity means you can get away with murder and it doesn't matter because you're a diplomat. You should be able to be above the law. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. So we're not to have a will as we decide in anything. There's to be no partiality in our judgment. Did you know if I have to rule between my daughter and Julianne, it shouldn't matter what the last name is? My three children will tell you this. I had to look, make sure I had three fingers up. Everybody's look. You ever do that? I wonder if I did that right. My children will tell you, I said this every place I was a Christian school principal that my children were in. I don't care what your last name is. And I didn't. Do you know I have expelled the pastor's sons from school? I didn't care what the last name was. By the way, I didn't expel them. The rules did. They broke the rule. I didn't. I just had to enforce it. Do you know that when my children got to a certain threshold and they had a day out of school for suspension, they got suspended? I usually took the day off and worked them so hard they never wanted to do it again. Only had one that breached it. It worked. It worked. Now, wait a minute. You don't let them get by with it because they're cute. Oh, they're just so cute when they do that. No, they're not. It's sin. It's wrong. We had a little one do something just this week. Mom and Dad came pretty hard on it. They told me about it, let me in on it. I played along with it. Now, as a 49-year-old man, there's a little part of me that thought, it really is kind of cute and funny. The other part of me said, as a dad, thank God they got the character to character of the children. Amen. And they took care of it. They made it sting a little bit. And I was glad for... now, after they took care of it and it walked out of my office, I went, Dad, a little bit. I'll tell you why, because it was a little bit funny. But I understood why, and I did my part. You say, why? That's what it's supposed to be. That's justice. Amen. All right? We shouldn't let those watching us influence our decisions. Did you know if people are watching you, it shouldn't change how you judge something? Oh, the whole world's watching. I'm feeling the pressure. I got to make this decision right. You ought to be that way with every decision. You ought to be that way with every decision. Wish we'd tell our president that. Number five, and I'll finish up hopefully before time. Punishment should be based on maturity. Punishment should be based on maturity. Turn to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to take you to one verse, and I'm going to make about a handful of statements. I'm going to rush through it and be done. Luke chapter 12, look at verse number 48. Luke 12, verse 48, I'm going to start reading for time's sake, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Wow. Notice it's talking about injustice and judgment. Did you know that's why it says in the Bible that in our day, we're more, there's more expected of us than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Amen. Say why? Because we have the complete written word of God. Amen. God was more tolerable of Sodom and Gomorrah than he is the United States right now. We have the complete word of God. We had the illustration of God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sodomy. And we've gone back to it. Everybody doing all right? Did you know a 2-year-old needs punished differently than a 12-year-old? Did you know a 2-year-old, Brother Wiley, you're going to
hold your hand out. Don't touch the pulpit. That's how you take care of a 2-year-old. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, a 12-year-old, I'm not going to smack her hand if she touches the pulpit. Say why? Because that's not how you deal with a 12-year-old.
Say, how do you deal with a 12-year-old? You put them in a bucket and close the holes up and bring them out when they turn 18. Man. But a 12-year-old, you might say, now, Kirsten, don't do that, or we're going to take some of your privileges away. We used to call it being grounded. I don't know why they called it that, but that's what it was called. You take some privileges away. You say, why? Because they violated something. Now, I'm not saying they should never be punished with corporal punishment, but for touching the pulpit, you don't get beat to death. All right? Wiley did, but nobody else. If you were 16, I'd say, guess what? If you don't obey what mom says, you don't drive for about a month. It's amazing how fast a boy will snap up when you take the keys away. Say, what is that? That's called hitting them where they hurt. But you don't take the keys away from a 2-year-old. You didn't hurt him. Y'all know what I mean? So there's a maturity level there. Now, you try to keep your punishment in the area of offense. In other words, if your 16-year-old comes home and has a ticket because they were speeding, I don't know that, yeah. First of all, you make them pay the ticket. Second of all, you take the keys away for a good long time. You say, why? Because you have to punish in the area of offense. Then you make them ride with mommy all the time for a while, or daddy, so that they have to earn it back. Now, hang in there. Now, punishment doesn't mean a life sentence. Did you know that just because you speed doesn't mean you go to jail forever? Now, you might feel like it when all those people are, you know, did you ever get pulled over by an officer? I haven't got a speeding ticket in 27 years. But I have been pulled over for a seatbelt a couple times and wonderful registrations and license department stuff in West Virginia. It's taken them 14 years before they could ever send stuff to me in the mail. I got pulled over, I don't know how many times. So your registration's out. Well, how do you find out? Well, they're supposed to send it to you. Never got it sent to me. I've been to the courthouse so many times, it's not even funny. Now, there's nothing more humiliating than sitting there with a little car with lights on behind you. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And everybody in the county knows who you are. And they're driving by going, ah! Were you with me in my truck? I got pulled over on Route 11, north side, down in front of the tire store there. I got pulled over. My daughter said, Daddy, what'd you do? I said, I don't know. I'm not speeding. I know that. Officer pulled me over. And he said, you got a light out. Yep. I said, really? I said, where? He said, you got a brake light out. I said, there's no way. I said, I just had those checked. And he comes back. He said, yeah, it's the one on top of your truck on the roof here. I didn't know there was a brake light up there. He said, you don't even know you got a brake light up there, do you? I said, I've never followed myself to know. And he kind of chuckled. He said, it's just a warning. I said, promise you, I'm going down around the corner. I'll go to AutoZone and pick up the light bulb on my way home, and I'll have it changed within the hour. He said, I believe you. He said, it's just a warning. I said, I just want to. He said, I've caught 3 other people this week with it. He said, I'm just letting people know. He was a nice guy. Could I have gotten a full-blown ticket? I guess I could have. But I didn't even know it was out. Kind of hard to tell. Now, wait a minute. Punishment is not a life sentence. Did you know you shouldn't punish outside your area? Do you know that my son, Jeff, 21 years old, pays his own bills, lives in his own apartment. You know, if he gets a speeding ticket, I don't punish him for it. Say, why? He's your son. No, he's a grown man. He pays his own bills. If he wants to keep paying tickets, he can keep driving fast. He'll learn eventually. Now, I don't know that he's gotten any.
in a long time. You know, my grown children don't have to obey me. Now, my daughter is weaning from it, but when she's home over the summers, she has rules she has to follow. She does. And she follows them. You say, why? Because that's what we expect. If she doesn't want to follow them, she can go live somewhere else during the summer. And not grandma and grandpa's. We got up. I knew I was going to get that. Now, wait a minute. Look, let me show you what I mean. My wife and I left at 3 o'clock or so Monday morning. My son Josh and him, she had to leave for work at 6:30. She came home. Josh and Ruth Ann had already left. She came home, took care of a few things. She went over and ate dinner at my mom and dad's, came back. You know, I didn't really worry about her a whole lot. Now, we checked on her, just so you know. And my wife will tell you, I say, have you heard from Mindy lately? Find out what she's doing. I just want to make sure she's all right. Now, wait a minute. I didn't have to worry about it. She already knew what the rules were. Say, what is that? And even if she did do something, there's very little she could have done. She couldn't go too far, and she didn't have enough money to do a whole lot more. Now, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to study. By the way, you say, well, then how do I fix my grown children? Why don't you study in the Bible how God the Father works with those of us that disobey him? Amen. Do you know God the Father doesn't come down and beat you every time you do something wrong? Say, why? Because you're supposed to want to follow him, not be made to follow him. Before there's ever a judgment, before justice has to ever be executed, the first thing we have to do is establish the rules and the laws. We have to decide before there's ever a judgment what those punishments are going to be. And we have to write those things out. I am so sick and tired of rule books. I hate them. I've written so many of them. I despise them. I'd have kids and students try to figure a loophole in the stupid handbook. Just about time you think you got it figured out, they come up with a new loophole in that thing. I've let students go with things that I know they knew were wrong, but we had it worded in such a way, and we'd fix it the next year. Say, why is that? There's always a new wrinkle. But may I say this? We'd establish it. We'd enforce it. Not because I hate them. That's the only way to be just. That's what that rule book, by the way, if it's not in there, don't do it. But if it's in there, do it. That's how simple it is. That's why the Word of God is so important. And I got to finish because I didn't keep my promise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. We sure do need you. Help us to, in our jobs, in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, our grown children, even our grandchildren, and with our country and where we work. May we be just even before there has to be a judgment.